gerade wissen. Der gemeld deutsche Gehirn, was ich mir noch getan mit Tönen, der ich jetzt. Ich sehe hier Schnee, mich kann das aber nicht verfeuern, ich sehe nicht mehr Malach, was ich für Betriebe, wir gehen das aber nicht. We were in the process of trying to get an understanding of the severity that the Mishnah explains over here to somebody who is missing that half of the Torah called Malach. Person has only Torah, doesn't have Malacha, very severe language. Gerer Savrin, like we explained, the defendant explained, and just schleps an Avera in from the outside. And it wasn't within your normal range of Averas. Gerer, it's a Bartok tow truck, and then Gerer, the Avera into the truck. Then it wouldn't have been beyond you, and here's what you mean. And the first part, Malacha, Seifa the Taylor. Called Torah Sheni Malacha Seifa the Taylor. The Torah is Seifa to be called little days, and we buckle that Torah. It's a very severe language. If you would explain to me that the Torah is better, like the beginning of the language, Yorful Talmud Torah and Be'er Torah, there's a mile in there, so it would be easier to understand. The second half of this mission especially is what we were going to clarify, what's the severity, what's the tragedy that happened over here? Where did it go wrong? We're trying to understand the concepts without avoiding the mission, that there are ways you can explain away. Malacha doesn't mean that. And there are different approaches that people like sometimes to try to avoid the issue and try not to avoid it, to try to understand the relationship between the Torah, that responsibility of Jews, and Malacha, and also. Here we find the Chiddush Gadol, that Malacha is a T'nai in the Torah. Without it, safe of a tail. I would. I think we had promised last week to continue with the question that is raised, that if, in fact, that we're going to understand this mission of the future. And as we started explaining last week, the severity of a person who doesn't have malacha, and the role, important role of malacha, such that a person that's missing malacha is in for two major problems. Number one, the negative, beres or avoid, that's going to bring him into things, others that he wasn't otherwise open to, and the lack of positive, meaning that even the positive that he has, the Torah that he has, is going to serve for the Torah. So you have the opposite number of a say Torah sumiya. And the Torah that you're going to have is going to be sad. So I think we promised last week to continue this week asking the question that what do Rav Tamir Chachamim of our generation and of all generations, you go through the generations, take out the Chayes, Sheva Gdolim, and you look through how many of them, there were many Gdolim in the Hanami, there were different Gdolim that did have their Malacha, but the vast majority did not. The vast majority, from the majority part of the communities, did not have malacha, and even they had a panosah was using the form of rabbonus, which is another subject we're not discussing sometimes. Certainly the ayesid of malacha, as simply presented here, that was not the route that was done. So we are probably going to deal with that. So if in fact the Torah is said of the tape, and if in fact the Torah is over it, as we explained a little bit last week, so then how could so many Gdolim take such a path? Also, to me, Chachamim of all different levels that have chosen to go through this path seems to be against the mission.
The Gemara tells us that many of the Rabbanim who did have were they in the rope, then also in the rope?
We have very difficult in telling us the question. I don't know. Are there differences between generations? Definitely. There are differences between generations. Were that much history, if you go to different generations, there will be generations where one another took presidency, and the other generations. That the other half, but there was always exceptions in either direction. the one generation of the exception where there were no exceptions was the Dor Midbar. Where there were nobody had Melacha. And the emphasis is that there are those who relate the problems of the Dor Midbar to this Mishnah. And that they were in an unnatural state. The Dor Midbar where there was totally across the board, it's all the pious fellows forced by the Ashkocha to the position of an Anhoga where there was no aspect of Melacha. As long as he would be doing various, he woke up in the morning instead of paying the patient the milk, he got the money. And that was as far as Panosa difficulties ended there. And everybody was like, there are some that I don't think that can be proven at this point. I don't think that you can make this type of a jump. But the whole life, the Dor Midbar had its problems. And that was a generation where all the Klaus was removed from the law. But that the Dor Midbar had its problems. If they had been more successful, we probably wouldn't be in exactly the same position we are now. It wouldn't be for the Chatayim that there were in any generation, it's likely because of the Chatayim. But B'chol Eifen, as a cloud, as Poshut, everybody knows, moved it in the Jewish history, recent Jewish history, and all the generations, there was always a second Hanhaga. How does this work? And if it's, if you can choose, if there's, then what is the Mishnah telling us? If the Mishnah is telling us a blanket statement, that she'en yom alocha v'sayt v'teh v'garesa. We explained last week, just to make this abdomen again, that we are trying, b'davka, to remove ourselves at this point from any technical questions the ma'aseh. We're not asking the ma'aseh what any particular person should do. Those questions are already a secondary discussion and taking all kinds of other processes of development. Right now we're interested in learning the sugya. And we're interested in developing the basic concepts that the Mishnah is teaching us. We have the Maisa, how to apply the Maisa, and many other steps, especially on such complicated issues. Very complicated issues. We're trying to get the basic concepts, what it's all about. So as we started explaining last week, the Maral explains that there are two basic Yetzirahs that man is up against. Yetzirah relates to the, as we explained last time, there are two basic motivations, sources of motivation in man, either idealism or pleasure seeking. There's a third one which I'm not going to deal with right now, but the main two ones that are positive motivations are idealism, different source, and pleasure seeking. Both of these have a positive and a negative form. While as naturally we assume that idealism is more righteous, I hope there's something better about it. And pleasure seeking as a major motivation force of a person's life is negative. It's not necessarily so. I don't want to go into this in too much more detail. We spoke about it last week, but before I think these two issues are the issue of Yitzhak Arayas and Yitzhak Arayas. Idealism, properly used, needs Torah guidance. That's Torah's role, it's the Sefer Yoshua, to be Miyasha Sikhlingim and give us the right ideas on all complicated issues of the world. The Yitzhak Avodah Zorah is that Yitzhak that replaces any other ideal with the ideals of Torah. And the Torah is the central line of the work. Around it, it has all of the satellites of the different kochmos and the different ideals and the different factions that exist in the world. And all of them find their proper place if they're united through Torah. The Yitzhak the Rosh Hashanah comes in as many forms as there exist other than. As many, for example, the points around the circle, say, 360 hours. As many different points as there are around, if you take, you know, the whole sphere, not just the circle. So it's an endless amount of points. Any person could take any particular point and put it in the place of Torah. Today it's this concept, and this one will make it festive, and this one will make it itself, this one will make it some type of social justice, and this one will make it some type of thing called for your country, and all kinds of different, for your king, for your faith, all kinds of different idealisms This one will take the stars, this one will take the moon, this one will take red, this one will take black, this one will take the fire, this one will take water. Any koyach, any force, anything that exists in the world that is part of the Ribono Shel Olam's total picture, when it's separated out and given the case of Malchus instead of the Ribono Shel Olam, that's Yetzirah HaDazara. It comes in many, many forms. But the Tzadah Shalosh HaVekulam is that it's a steer from the Derech HaYoshua, always going in one direction. Dafka this, and not the other. If it's rain, then it's not wind. If it's capitalism, it's not capitalism. It's always... Derech HaYoshua Torah Zaka combines everything, brings everything into harmony, and puts all of the kofas, even the ultimate steer of Tehi Veda, and just miyasher it into one piece. Das Tehi, when you go away from the Eitz HaChaim, then the Eitz HaDas splits into two. Eitz HaDas Tehi, the major steer of the world, Tehi Veda. Okay, so we'll talk about the sources. This is Yitzhak HaVarizor. And the remedy for Yitzhak HaVarizor is, first and foremost, Tehi. And Yitzhak HaRais, is that in general terms, in the broadest term, is all that goes into that motivation called pleasure seeking. And in here, that process that the Rishon gave us, that will save us from the Yetzer HaRais, that will not just save you, but just like the ideal, all of these different koyfas that exist in the world, when you misuse them, you may have a when you put it in proper relationship, that it's one of the very positive powers that you need to run the inventions in the world. Same thing is true in the world of pleasure seeking, in the world of Yisrael. When you take it, you make that the motivating force outside of the Yashas, outside of the Seder HaLosha, then it will purse a person into one of the many directions that the pleasure seeking involves. People have different forms of pleasure. Some people have simple pleasure. Physical pleasure. Some people, physical pleasure is not quite sufficient, but they get a lot of pleasure out of having 100,000 people fall down. That's really quite a yitzhak that covers the yitzhak power, the yitzhak control. All of these things are forms of pleasure seeking. We're calling it in the most broad form. There's no question that the yitzhak derayis kipshutoi plays a primary role in this world. The Pashto form is that Yitzhak takes a primary. It's right there. It's usually there in any group of people that present themselves from the Yitzhak camp on the central stage. Well, generally, what's going on over there, you'll find Yitzhak keep shooting somewhere along there. Takes the front scene, back of the scene, that's there. So. But regardless, we're talking the broader side of things, that koyach that can drive a person away from the Derech HaYoshua is this Yitzhak HaRais. And the tikkun that the Rishon gave us is Malacha. That the basic Mahalach that the Rishon gave us is Malacha. So before we get to what I promised in discussing what the Talmudic Talmud is, let's have a better understanding of this process. What is the problem and what is the tikkun of Malacha? Like Ramal explains, these two Chalakim of the world split themselves according to the Tzuchalakim of man, which is Nefesh and Guf. The spiritual side of man, the physical side of man, the Yitzhak, the idealism, the Yitzhak, the Avodah Zarah, relates to the thought processes of man, the Nefesh of man. The Yitzhak, the Arayis, relates itself to the Guf side of man. The Torah is teaching us here in this Mishnah that a person has to know that no person is omnipotent. No person is only neshama. Basically, even to a greater degree, we have to know that the neshama has to be tahara. The neshama itself, ruling the goof, is not the subject that this world was given to deal with. Neshama was doing just fine before it was put into the world. It was Yoshev Takas Kisei HaKovod, his name was Yerushkina. It was doing really wonderful. The neshama, under the auspices of Guru, but then you can have the Yitzhak of the Zohar taking effect, like explained last time. It has the dual relationship, especially in terms of healing. Like the Gemara says, Yisrael over Yisrael over the Lahat Elohim Arayas of the Hesed. And mentioned last week. But the whole open the whole open man has a goof and nefesh relates to the ideals of the Zohar and the Torah, and the goof relates to the mahalik of the pleasure seeking and it's the arayas, and for this the Banshan gave a tikkun called Malach. This malacha, this idea of avoda that is part of man's process, we have two major sources in the history of humanity. The first one starts in day one. Unrishon kaidem echet. What is the process? What do you have to do there? What was his job? Day one. You didn't get a day off. It was Friday, make a geshet till Sunday, then have Shabbat. No, day one was lo'avdo v'sham. If man exists, the same day that exists, it was given to him the dual package of avodah and shmir. This process of avodah and shmir is that process just enables man to develop the uncompleted process that the Rebbeinu made in Israel. The Rebbeinu created man in a position, like we've explained many times, where he had the capability of doing, finishing, joining the revelation of the world in his process of creation, and bringing himself and all of creation to a level of shlemus through his actions. Obviously, without going into the protein, which is very beyond us, because we don't really have such a clear understanding what Gan Eden was and what animation was, could in effect. But whatever the exact definitions of his job were, how did he do his avodah? The idea, the concept of avodah existed kodem chet. The major change that happened between kodem chet and after chet was not the gzeira that he has to have avodah. The difference was the form of the avodah. And the form of the avodah changed from the la'avdoi l'shamra of Gan Eden to Bezeir Sepecha Tefal Alechem, which is a klola. Here, we're telling us that it's a klola. It's to be Yeshua. Without it, you're picking up the Greek without a paddle. You can't handle the use of the eyes. This is the tikkun. So here we have the beginning of understanding of the dual aspect of Malacha as we have it Achrach. That, the basic concept of Avodah, is a bracha, is a basic mitzvah of the creation of man that relates to his whole thoughts. Take a man who has no capability, a positive process called avoda, he basically has no mokum, especially in the olam ha'avoda. Send him directly to go. There is no such thing. You can't get to olam ha'avoda without olam ha'avoda. The only entrance is there's only one dual to olam ha'avoda. Finds its way in Olam Hazeh. Olam Hazeh is a chakra of life, is the doorway into Olam Haba. You have to go through, when you go into a house, you have to go through the front door if you want to go in. There's only one front door to Olam Haba. That door is the Avodas HaOdom Olam Hazeh. That is not only the Baruch of man, that's the whole Tachlis of man. Is that man can complete the process of development and creation that the Avodas HaOdom started. The kolala that is included in the Zeras Pecha Teich Alechem is that he reduced the starting point to bread. The Zeras Pecha, there's another aspect there, but we're not interested in learning the details of the kolala of Zeras Pecha Teich Alechem. It's a basic concept that the reduction of the bracha of the Tachos of the Veda was turned into a form that was relatively a klala, relative to the avodah of Lo'avdo L'Hashem of Gan. So here we have every malacha is a bracha in disguise. The outside form of every malacha is a klala. The core essence of that klala is a bracha. And this is the reason why that there is two sides to the deception of melacha as we have it today. The basic concept of melacha exists. That la'ovda l'shamra of olam rishon kodem echad, the core essence of it exists today in today's melacha. But it has to go through a process that's separate. It has to go through a process that's called a klala. It's called a present that's referred to as pizayas atecho, toicho lecha. The second place, in even a stronger form, where the idea of avoda is central to Klai Yisrael's existence, which is a subject which we often try to avoid when we get to not far from Pesach. But why? But Pesach's not that far away. And we're going to get to the subject of avodin magiyah, the fire of the Mitzrayim. We'd like to get past that one. That, you know, and oh, now the bunch took us out. No, it says you have to start. If you didn't start from avodin magiyah, you're not yet. If you left out the chelek avdus of the sefer Yisrael, and you started, the scene opens, the Moshe then comes with his staff, you're not yet. You missed the point. Everything that you're going to learn about the Nisan and the Flores of the Tzitzis Mitzrayim will not give you the proper path. Ad shefshal agid ikir chosim v'zik. Why? There was an unnecessary evil of best that Klai Yisrael was put through a terrible situation of avdus. And Boch Shem, the Boch Shem said this from us, the main thing, so we have to say, I have to tell you that we were there in order to tell you that we were taken out. But the main thing is to tell you that if that would be the case, then you wouldn't have to mention the Avdus. You would have to say we were taken out of Avdus. But the fact that we have to, yes, mention the Avdus and the stress on it that you have in Chazal teaches us that it is a central part. The fact that we have Mora, that's a central part of the Kiyam. Matzah, Mora, Kufim, Zerah. Matzah without Mora doesn't go. The Matzah is for the goals. It's for the Gula. The Mora, the truth that the Poshut Mahal Kiyam has it all. Or, Matzah relates to the Gula, more relates to the news. It's over. Now, the Shas, Chedmus of Chedmus. Right, I'm not distinguishing between Avdus and Melacha. And anybody who has a job, if he's working for somebody else, and probably even more so if he works for himself, actually, with me, to be able to make it that Melacha and Avdus are very closely related. Every Melacha has a flavor of Avdus to it. And there are times when that aspect of Melacha hits you, when a person really asks himself, who am I working for? Is it the taxis? Is it my wife? Why am I doing all of this? What exactly is the... why am I doing this? Because everybody does. Because that's the way it is. I mean, what's in it? What am I making this call? It's nothing for me. It's only for the para. Whatever today's para's name is. His name is Taxis, or his name is something like that. So then it's pure out. You want to say it in this form. La'ovda l'shomra. When it's reduced to the form of klala called and then la'ovda turns into avdus. La'ovda turns into avdus. But the basic concept, I can say, we have the same thing again. We have a blessing in disguise. Until we get to the gula, when a person is an eved, as in Mitzrayim, it's very difficult to approach him and to explain to him the bracha in disguise that he has. But once we're already at Yitzias Mitzrayim, then we have the moral talk. Because that's an important chelik, an intrinsic part. Because now we can see beyond the klala, bitter, it's like the opposite of a bitter pill. The outside is bitter, the inside is sweet. The outside level of avdus that there is, had within it an extreme form of the bracha of melacha. Here we don't see on the surface, and something we've discussed probably in the past, but maybe we'll get close to the silence. We don't see when a person was slaving for Paro and putting up the pyramids, we didn't see Christ all being there. You saw Mount Tabor. You saw dirt and sand and sweat and tears. And pain. But in a very short period, 40 days, Paisa went from Basel 40 to become Abdin Hashem, to be really the Kabbalah Tehillim. Like many of the fortune explained, this idea, the Hakshara, to become those Abdin Hashem, to have those qualities necessary as a nation to carry the Ol Shamayim, the Ol HaTayyar, to carry the Shekhinah B'Olam HaZeh, as the others did individual, the generation, as a nation, as an Am, that was born as the Qur'an, as it says in Chazal, we were born in Mitzrayim. We were like an Uber B'Nayim, we were born out of Mitzrayim. Although Paro, and maybe many of the people that were working at Paro, thought they were working for him, it was a mistake. That's the surface clo aspect of it, that also exists. And that's why even we remember with more, because this is not of the Shem. This is Shemayim Mol B'Zeh. But once we're out, we can get below the surface of the pain, of the surface of it, and we can carry also the understanding that Klal Yisrael was born from it. That there is a whole nation, you know, men, women, and children, 3 million in number at least, who are capable of being Nevi'im, are capable of Masharoh, Shifra, Yom Maror, the greatest of Nevi'im. Where did they get those capabilities from? They got it from them. This is one of the Seidos of the Olam, or the Seidos of the world, that Malacha, even in its form Hamakulo, that we have La'achar Hechet, has a tremendous potential in developing the world. The idea, the concept, we discussed it last week, but just want to give a quick clarification, the idea of Zichuch. So Furish and Chazal, Mitzrayim was a Kor HaBarizeh, purification center. There are processes of gold and silver that require burning. But on the surface, when a person who has no understanding of the processes, he took some valuable gold, he could throw it in the furnace. He should be only after he saw the difference, the purity of the product that came out, compared to the raw form of gold that there was when it went into it, then a person realizes that the difficulties that the gold went through in that furnace was his for its toils. There is a process called Zichuch HaChomer, that the Rabbi Yishlan put into the world, which is the most saving grace that guarantees Klal Yisrael's success. Now, Paul explains this in several places, in other Rishayim, other people in the Hospital, but the other from the Rishayim also, it's mentioned this concept. The simple path for attaining Olam Haba is Torah and Mitzvahs. A person does Torah and Mitzvahs and is actually Olam Haba. But there's a problem. Against Torah and Mitzvahs is Bittul Torah and Mitzvahs. And we're in Olam Chomo, we have Gufkin, we have Yetzer Hara, we have Shibin Malkis, everybody has their Tzaras, everybody has their Peklach. If we look around Klal Yisrael in any generation or throughout history, you don't find on the surface Rav Tzaddikim. You always find certain individuals that were pure Tzaddikim, the Chilos of Asaikah, Rubam. Rav Rubam, the Imam Jezid, the others are Ish Tzaddikim. Rav Rubam and Klal Yisrael seem to be Bainim. They have the Milos, they have the Chasonim, the Denisim, the Abedis. I think we discussed that on another last week also, that if you have Dosha, he was out there with Dosha. It doesn't seem that way. It seems all Bainim. It's all good, a little bad. That's because we only have the capability of seeing the surface level, and on the surface level we only see the Torah and Mitzvahs as a pair to the Bittul Torah and Avedis. And that, if we would left to that, then we would be left with a very mediocre success story. The Vaishnav was not willing to settle for such limited success. He also didn't want to change the form where it would be easier to succeed, because then the value of the success would be much lower. The exact details of the Chachmas Hashem, the Chashbonos of Hashem, of how he created his world and where exactly what level of fear to put us on, we certainly are not capable of understanding the rest of it. This we do know, that to complete the process, the Rabbi Yishlam gave a tool system process. The direct processing of, not processing, the direct schir form, Torah mitzvahs, and the form that goes through melacha, or in its more mekubal form, yisurim. Both of these processes are processes of development, not directly through Torah mitzvahs. Any effort, Adam la'amul yulad. The Gemara says, maybe la'amul melacha. The Gemara goes through the process of being specific enough, but it's a habimim. Don't have habimim, that's the name is created. All of the habiminis that it has there in the Gemara and Sanhedrin is that these were koyches that have within them the capability of processing man to perfection. What the Gemara says, is that the final, is that the highest process? There is no, there are higher processes. Melacha, is Dibur, and then all the Melacha. That wasn't a sign of rejection. But the Lord says, no, it means that that is not the highest one, and that's not the final one. In order to attain the heights that man has attained, we need to, can't attain that just with the Melacha. But the process of Zichur that it has within Melacha is in a way much more shavuachom. In order to attain the type of perfection that the Rebbeinu expects from us, totally through Torah mitzvahs, or meaning through Torah mitzvahs, a person needs a much higher level of success, a much higher success rate, a much higher quality of Torah mitzvahs. In order to make it Shavu L'chol Nefesh, the Rebbeinu added, Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chevet HaHakim, because Kol Yisrael Yishlam Chevet HaHakim. And even though not everybody has the capability of rising to the level of Talmud Chacham, or rising to the level of a Tzaddik Gadol, but he can rise to the level of a Beinoni. And that is lacking can be concluded through the process of Halacha. Halacha, including its more mekubal form of the Yisurim involved, especially within the Halacha itself, and also includes the level of the Yisurim that go into the process. Halacha is a more positive form. Yisum is really another level down. Melacha is in the middle. Melacha is a positive form of zikur. Yisum is a negative form of zikur. Man who is producing in the world, that's what melacha is. Even in the simple world, he's taking raw products that the Rebbeinu Shem created, and processing them through a higher state of development. And then he sells them, that's what makes his living. Each person does it with some other item, and that's what makes the world go around. Each person has his input into the world that makes it somewhere more developed. That's his input, and that's what he's selling, that's what he's getting paid for, and that's what his malacha is. There are some questions nowadays, there are exceptions, that things look different than some people, and even many people in today's world, Olam HaDimyon, in today's Olam HaDimyon, there are many jobs that don't seem really to be producing anything. And it's just like moving things around, and you get paid because you move them around. The mindset is a subject, but it's not right now. We'll get us off the subject. The basic yisod, again, we're talking about the theoretical concepts, we're trying to get the basic understanding. Melacha has the capability of being mezachach mechoyim. When the mechoyim is mezuchach, number one, is that the lower level of Torah, that the beinoni, that the regular Yisrael, he creates from the Torah, his level of Torah that he attained, if that would have to carry the whole weight of the trip from Eilam Hazeh to Eilam Haboah, it would be difficult, because it would not have the capability of overcoming the guf. But with the melacha, the mizachech the guf, and channeling it in a positive form, so that it is a kli muchan makabel brocha of the Or HaTorah, and it's like a properly prepared candle, a properly prepared wick. If you prepare it properly, just a little light in it, it lights right away. If not, it smokes still and splutters and goes out. You need a much stronger process to get it burning. If the wick is wet, it's not process, it's still wet, still damp. You just take a little match, do it, it'll splutter and go out. You take a big light to it, that we'll be able to eventually overcome the difficulty and get it to that level. This is the basic concept of the necessity of melacha. Without melacha, man is left missing the ground floor. So that, I'll go into the spiritual world. There are, especially the Christians, there are that are built that you go to the spiritual level of man and try to eliminate the physical levels of man. You can't do it. No has, never will. Because that's not man. That's not what man is man. Man is not a Malach. Man is not just a Neshama. Man is and is meant to be a joint process of Neshama and Ruach, and success is that the Neshama affects that. If you ignore the Guf, if you mirate in the Guf, you don't give the Guf its processing, then the Neshama is not, is in a fight with the Guf, it's not being ma'al. In the process, if a person is missing that ma'al, he's going to run off into his ivory castle and be involved in only dvorim ruchniim, but he's going to ignore the process of Guf. He's going to ignore the processes of Malacha. Then he is owed to what the Mishnah is saying, that it's safer the tailor with Taylor, and it's clear as well. Just as a person who has a near mitzvah Taylor or, if you want to light the or of Taylor on a near mitzvah, on a proper goof that's been processed properly, it'll light it. It's going to shine. But if you want to light it on nothing, when it's something that is not capable, has not been developed properly, so it will splutter and go out. The Torah, the Oishis Parathas Ba'ada, the Torah will go back to Shemayim. But how did somebody put it? I used to look at this tongue with somebody who tells it off. It says, not the question is how much Torah did you learn, but how much did the Torah, how much Torah did you learn, or how much did the Torah teach you? I'm not saying that. Good line, but well, the basic concept is like this. A person can learn a lot of Torah, but he hasn't become part of it. He hasn't internalized it. It is something that just is, so it's had on and it'll splutter, it'll go back, and the Torah is fine, but the person is not. The Rishayim refer to this type of a person as a chamur no seisla. His goof is still a chamur, it wasn't developed. It carries a lot of Torah on his back. It's not on his back, it's in his head. But there's a detachment to the Torah from the book. That Torah that doesn't, has not become familiar with the person, doesn't become part of the person, is safe of the Torah. It doesn't have a Torah. Not only that, Goyer is, okay. It must bring to the Torah. Because a Chamor Nosestor has a almost incapability of being marked as Mukha. Because he's a total steer. He has a whole shas on his back. On the outside, he looks like Tantor. But he's a chamor. If somebody calls him a chamor, he'll point to the shas. When he points to the shas, people point to the chamor. The yesod of being in harmony with the world is being Matas Mukha. A person who has not the capability, has difficulty knowing where he stands in both directions. Here we have a person who has a difficulty in both directions. He has reason to believe that he's bigger than he is, and he probably, if he's honest with himself and he sees the chamor that he is also, has reason to believe that he's lower than he is. He's a total, he's a living steer. It's very difficult to define such a steer because it is a total. So you can't be Matthias McCrane. So he's a person who generally will run between the two worst of Midas, Gaiva and Atzus. At that moment that he's more aware of the Milo of Tarei, without having the humility that comes with a fully built Talmud Chochem, he has the insane of Gaiva in a form that's almost impossible to overcome. At the moment where he notices in himself that there seems to be a chamor under the shas, it breaks. It's a bracha. Atzos, well known, especially Atzos Hasidim, have done a very good job of getting Chayasel to realize that you can't accomplish anything with the Atzos. And he's playing ping pong between Gaiva and Atzos. That is a key in this world of the Oynish of Kakakela. They throw you from one end of the world to the other. One day he's king of the world, the next day he's blood. This sorrowful soul, that for one reason how he got there, but for one reason or the other, did not build the bottom floor. He didn't have the zichuch aguf to match the level of Torah that he had. And to that degree, he left himself as a chamor nesis phone. That the Mishnah is telling you, watch it. That's Torah sefer b'teilu, the Torah is all. Now, we're ready to deal with the question, if it's such a dangerous path, if it's so partial, like the Mishnah is explaining, that a person needs both, how is it that we find this on Hagen Klai Yisrael, that so many people have gone, now generation, our generation in particular, it's become even broader defined than the early generation. With the Kollel system, what's it all about? How does it fit with our Mishnah? The concept is most clearly defined in the Rambam. The halacha in the end of Shmita in the middle. It's a famous Rambam, I'm sure we'll find another time to mention it here sometime. This is the time to discuss it in particular in relationship to this mission. The end of halacha of Shmita v'Yevel says, Lama lezochu in halacha yibbeis, Levi b'nachas yitzel, v'vizah im ochov, why was Levi not given an Achlan Atzvel? And why was it not given a Chelik of the Bizim? Because they have a different job. They have a particular role. Their role is Lavish as Hashem and Lashor Soil, Lahoyer Strof of Yeshua, Mishpot of Tzadik and Rabbim. They have a different form of being Let's just continue, finish the Rambam, and then we'll go back to understand what it says. V'loi shevet Levi b'vad. This is not particular to shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish, mikol boi li ha'olam, asher nod v'y mukhoi oysu, v'avinoi ma'adoi v'havdil, l'avoi b'lepnei Hashem, l'shor soi y'l'yotoi, l'das es Hashem, v'holach yosher k'moi shasor v'kim, v'porok me'al tzavoi ol k'shbun yas harabim, asher v'ikshu b'nei odam, הרי זה נזכד יש קודש קדושים, ויהיה השם חלקוי נחלוסוי, לאילום אלוהי לאנוע. וייזכו לו באילום הזה דוביק המספיק לוי, כמו אישו זוכו לכהן מלווים. He has a right to be zoichoy in Eilam Hazeh from the rest of Klai Yisrael, that he needs, his needs, like the Kohan and Levim. זה ידעו לשם אמר השם ונעס חלקי וקודשי, אתה תמיד נתנים. This is the Rambam, place where the Rambam explains the Yisrael. That there is an exception to the law. The law of the Lashomra that was the form of Adam and Eve still exists in a specialized role within Klai Yisrael today. We need Malacha. But we have to remember the Malacha that we have today is not Kulei Bracha. Adar, the Malacha that we have today is only Bracha packaged in a cloak. There is a capability in a very particular form of raising back up to that stage of Lagala of the Yavishma. This process is that process that the Rambam is discussing here, that Chelik Levi had, and that any member of Klai Yisrael has the right, individually. You don't have to yashin it, you don't have to have a chashuv father. There are no requirements. It's not kumna, it's not an office, it's a kesetah. Kesetah is available to anybody who's standing around Sinai, anybody whose father's Avraham is a Ben Yaakov. Only true has the capability of being mavdil himself from Olam Hazeh in a particular form. That form relates directly and particularly to what does he see as his role in the world. What is his definition of La'avda? He can define up his definition of La'avda to La'avda Yerushalmi relatively related to La'avda Yerushalmi one relation and not to Hosea as a prophet. He can choose out. He can be a man of La'avda La'amid Lefnei Hashem. And this is referred to in Chazal, and unfortunately nowadays it became a phrase that they have in all these tzavah forms, and it's become cheap and bad misuse. But the words of Chazal are always exact. Toyrosa Yunrosa. What kind of words are that? Toyrosa Yunrosa. Toyrosa is that he's a person of Talmud Chacham who's only working in Toyr. He's a pure Toyr person. Right? And he doesn't have any words. And he's a tztaka case. People have to support. Yeah. That's not kosher. You can't have that. You have to have Toyrosa Yunrosa. You have to have a person who has Malacha. But he has internalized the koyach, the process of malacha, of avoda, within the process of tayyatsa. He has a role to play in the world. His role is the role of Shevet Levi. Klai Yisrael always needed, even in Mitzrayim, where we had that extreme form of la'avdah that the nation needed, but Shevet Levi was the exception. We needed a Shevet Levi. There was always somebody who had to remain on the other form of La'avda. Klai Yisrael always had within it these different places. The choice individually for any Talmud Chacham to make, whether he wants also to be involved in some umnis, some malacha pshuta, or whether he wants to raise himself to be inclusive both in the responsibility and requirements that says in this mission, and the discussion that says in this, and these halachas in the Rambam. That's an individual question that each Talmud Chacham has to make on his own. There's a goyim that discusses this question. The Maaseh, the Chaim Volozhiner, discussed in the Talmidim. The Talmidim asks which way they should go. Their chashbonos of how they made the decision was dependent on their individual capabilities, their knowledge of their klipas and nefesh, and their understanding which form would bring them to greater godliness. It was a subject that was totally a Torah issue. It was just purely in Torah terms. This is the form of Torah Unosai, where there is no lack of their effects. There is no lack of malacha. But the malacha itself is niskayim food. That's called Toroso Yunus. Now you want to know, somebody's got to ask, how do you know the difference between the two? A valid question.
Is that shown by class too?
Yeah. This is the Machlokes of Yishmael, shown by Chayim, maybe that's even a more pure, higher form. But what is the way that a person should train his Torah? So, Yishmael taught that a person basically chooses malacha, and only the individual child has the opportunity to raise himself and decide that he's going to be a Torah in Muslim people. Shimon Bar Yochai taught that way, that you go straight to Torah. It's a machlokes, it's also a different aspect of the machlokes. But like the Gemara says, Harbor also for Shimon Bar Yochai, Valoy also the other. The most simin mubak of how a person has to know which of these two categories is fitting is, as the Gemara says, a person who is lomad 5 years, a person has to analyze honestly, or go to somebody else who has the capability of making that analyzation, whether he was roya simin bracha b'yimudoy, or whether he is a Talmud Chacham, or whether he is a Kovei to the Torah in Yeshiva. Is he Torah in Yosai? Or is the Batlan who's not doing his Malacha and is being Kovei to the Torah in Yeshiva? I had a Moshe, I'll give you from my own experience, when I had 2 years in high school, that I was 11th grade, I was in 12th grade. I was in Tells, and I was a wise guy. And I didn't want to be bothered with going to classes and doing things the regular way. So I made an application at the beginning of the year to take the whole year homestead. There were exceptions with people who used to take one course homestead. Yeah, so I'm going to go for the whole show. And I had to write up the whole application, explanation of why I wanted, how I think I can do it, why it's better for the school, but for me, better for Grace, for the president, I don't know. But after writing all up, I think so. In 11th grade, then it goes to the principal, I got some issues, and I wasn't accepted, didn't get accepted. So after the principal says no, the only place you can go to after that is a shiva, and you can override the principal. So I went to Egyptian. I gave one look at the thing that I wrote up, and he threw it at me, and he says, no, go back to school. It's not, don't, like, he rejected it out of hand. It was totally not true. Bob Cheshbon. No explanations, no nothing, like, no, like, why? I think he'd go, you should go with it. So, anyway, next year I tried it again. He gave me one course. One course, yes, of course, whatever it was, but it was about 10% of what I even asked for. So when I got to 12th grade, I tried it again. Of course, you don't succeed, try again. The same thing happened, I wrote up the thing, and I thought maybe it was there somewhere. Yeah, in high school. I wrote up again, and again, I went to the office, whatever, it was rejected. I take it to a gift, he looks at the thing, he says, what? They didn't accept it? He writes on the bottom, accepted, overruled, on the spot. I said, no, thank you very much, Rebbe, but I have a question I'd like to ask. He says, yeah, what's the question? He says, what's the difference between last year? Last year you rejected the other hand, and this year you accepted the other hand. So he says, I know you. He says, what is the real reason why you wanted to take home study last year? So the last year, the reason why you wanted to is because it's easier, and you get more time to learn. This year, the reason why you want to do it is because you're going to get more time to learn, and it's easier. Okay. Last year, your main motivation was laziness. You wanted to use different opportunities that you had, take advantage of the situation, and get out of work. Okay. I'm going to produce a batwa. No, I'm not going to say that. Nope. You better ask. Right? Work hard, make reports. Work them along. That's more. It's okay. It's all good. Are going to literally pretending that you're left more as a son, and I'll produce it. The second year, another year of being in yeshiva, and you know, something must have gone in the right direction. I don't know what thermometer he uses to determine this, but I knew that he was right. I knew exactly what he was thinking about. At this point, I really wanted the extra time to learn. And the fact that it was easy was also nice. I can't say that didn't play a role, but that was second year. You're not getting out of work. It's not a way out. It's a way of applying yourself more seriously to your work. That overrides the extra time if you're in high school. You can be lazy with it, with homestead. There are no simple definitions, surface definitions, formulas that a person can give. Sort in anything. These are very aimful questions. Generally, only the person himself has to be able to be mafchid the emes and be meida al emes to know whether this is to get out of malacha. Getting out of malacha, that better is safe with the table of prayer as well. If it's taking upon himself a higher oath, that's a source. That person has an act. If he's accepting upon himself the oath of kesetayah, the higher responsibilities, the higher forms of learning that require to also in Masai, they have an answer. Otherwise, that's his schus and Chanukah's responsibility to support. No, it's not the case. He's worse. But his work is called to also in Masai. The end?